So tonight, God laid on my heart more of an encouragement than really a challenge. Not so much a challenge, more of an encouragement. What I wanted to talk about tonight, specifically through examples, I have four stories from the Bible, and also one outside of the Bible is more modern. It's basically how much God loves you, how much He cares for you. So we'll read through these stories, and then I'll break it down further as we go into it. The first one we're going to start off with, you should know all of these stories. The first one is Israel in the wilderness. This is going to be Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, and we will start in verse 22. 15:22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, or 63, and they camped there by the waters. So here we see Israel in the wilderness. And this is the first one. There is many beyond this, but this is where God provided them water and then also some food from the palm trees there. Even though this wandering in the wilderness was their own fault, this was God punishing them. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. Even though they were in punishment, God still cares. God still loves them. And He will still take care of them, as He will you. We'll go on to chapter 16. We'll read some verses here, starting in verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then said the Lord unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the 16th day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, "At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For he that heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what we are, that ye murmur against us." And Moses said, "This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." And Moses spake unto Aaron, "Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings." And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. Ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." we can continue on. Like I said, there are more stories, water from the rock, multiple times. There are more stories of Israel in the wilderness and God providing for them. Again, even though they're being persecuted because of their own sin, God still cares for them. He provides meat, quail, and provides bread, the manna. God still provides. Even though we might mess up, He still loves us. He still provides for us. Next story will be Gideon and his 300 men. I'm sure you all know this. This is going to be in Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7, and we're going to start reading in verse 1 here. Then Jerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into their hand, and let all the other people go, every man into his place. This part of the chapter is the selection, the 300 men. If you look at it, they started with over 30,000 men, 30,000 trained soldiers ready to fight. Two-thirds of them, it said 22,000, two-thirds of them left because they were afraid. What does that say of Israel? 10,000 remained, but God said, still too many. And then he narrowed it down to 300 men. I'm going to skip a few verses. We're going to go to verse 16, read a few here. And he divided the 300 men, Gideon, into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hand to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts. And the host fled to Beth Shittah and Zereth, and to the border of Abimelech, and unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of all Manasseh, and poured after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together, and took the waters unto Bethbara and Jordan. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. So this chapter 7 here, we see at the beginning the selection of the 300 men, and then we see a miracle happen, is what it is, nothing less than that. 300 men defeat, and we didn't read the verse, but essentially says, an innumerable host. there were so many men, and they said camels in here, and just supplies, that you can't count them. 300 against an army, an innumerable army. And that was enough to surprise them, to make them flee, and then to gather the men that were captured or being held hostage or whatever the case might be, the other soldiers in the land, they said, around Ephraim, and to chase them and to completely slaughter them, to win, undoubtedly. Gideon and his 300 men obeyed God, they followed his commandments, in what looked to be a perilous situation, a situation that could not end well at all. Trusted God, God provided. We read another one here. This one will be in 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. This is going to be Elijah. Elijah in this story here. So the page is over. 1 Kings 17, starting in verse 1 also of this chapter. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I might drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. In this chapter we see Elijah. We all know the story. He was pursued, so he fled in the wilderness, says, by the brook Cherith. And ravens, birds, God commanded birds, animals, to feed him. So not only did God provide fresh, clean water, it had to be purified, it couldn't be any parasites or anything in it, he provided both bread and flesh, meat and bread, from ravens. And then to further prove himself, after the brook dried up, he said, "Go to this poor little widow, this poor widow and her son." And this widow, in a selfless act, thank God for that too, she fed him. And because she fed him, she followed the Lord, he followed the Lord, they didn't starve. They are prepared to die. The Bible says right there, "They may eat it, that we may eat it and die," in verse 12. They knew this was their time. Because they both looked to God in their time of need, instead of trying to find food on themselves or by themselves, they looked to God, they obeyed God's commands, and he provided for them. Time and time again, we can see this. We'll look up one more story here. This one will be in Ezra. Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 1 here also. We'll skip around a little bit on these verses. We're going to read verses 1 through 4 and then verses 8 through 11. Starting Ezra 1, verse 1. "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, which at the time was the biggest nation, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you that all of his who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel, the temple. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, besides the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. We'll skip down to verse 8 here. Even those did Cyrus king of Persia bring forth by the hand of Mithridath the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them: 30 charges of gold, 1,000 charges of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410, and other vessels 1,000. All the vessels of gold and silver were 5,400. All these did Sheshbazzar bring up with them of the captivity that were brought forth from Babylon unto Jerusalem. So I was curious about this. I was curious about this, and I looked up the different measurements and everything here. So in verse 9, chargers there are not a measurement, they're actually just plates, dinner plates. They could be used for eating or for decoration, but because they were made of gold and silver, they could also be used for trade. They could be melted, made into coins, whatnot. So silver and gold chargers. A basin, which is an old English term for basin, a bowl, again, usually used for cooking or feeding, but again, could be used for decorations, putting things in. Again, made of silver and gold, so they could have silverware or trade it, so on. So, a vast number, see verse 9, 30 charges of gold, 1,000 charges of silver, 9 and 20 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver basins of a second sort, 410. I couldn't find a value on these because I don't know exactly what size they were, because they were just plates and bowls, they weren't of measurement. But you think how dense gold is, and I think it's a lot. It's a lot of money, or it's just very useful as they are as silverware, pots and bowls, pans. We'll skip to chapter 2. We'll go down to the end of it. We're going to read the last few verses, 66 through 69 there. This is continuing on with more things that were given to them. Their horses were 730 and 6. Their mules, 240 and 5. Their camels, 430 and 5. Their asses, 6,720. And some of the chief of the fathers, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to set it up in his place. They gave after their ability unto the treasurer of the work 61,000 drams of gold, and 5,000 pounds of silver, and 100 priest garments. This I was able to find the exact value of, and it's a blessing. It's an extreme blessing to see this. Besides all the animals, which came in handy in many ways. Verse 68, the chief of the fathers gave. They offered freely for the house of God. They gave their ability unto the treasure of the work. 61,000 drams. So 1,060 drams. I was able to find this. One dram is a measurement back then of weight. 16 drams equals 1 ounce. That would be today's measurements. So it's 1,060 drams, which is about 66 and a quarter ounces. This is in gold. So today's value would be just over $88,000. $88,000 for then, back then, huge, incredible blessing. The other one was a pound of silver. It says 5,000 pound of silver. Again, another measurement. This one was a step up from shekels. So 1 pound is 100 shekels of silver. 3 shekels equals 1 ounce. So in that, in ounces, 166,666.67. 166,600 is basically 67 ounces of silver. Today's money, $2,635,000. It's an incredible blessing. Again, God's providing. The second group was in the book of Nehemiah. I didn't look up the verses for this one. I won't look at those tonight. But again, we see the materials provided for the restoration. We see earlier that the king of Persia set aside materials, even started setting aside wood, timber, building materials, nails of sort, whatnot, ahead of time, years in advance, because he believed the word that was spoke to him. He believed that eventually they would go back, and he believed that they should go back eventually. So years in advance, he started providing materials and storing them, setting them aside. And Nehemiah is where we see the wall being built and the rest of Jerusalem being restored. So now I want to share for you a story, not from the Bible, but also still a very good blessing. I have shared this before in a previous message I did, but it just applies so well. Story of George Mueller. Just to summarize, I won't go through his whole life, but the part that I want to point out is George Mueller was an incredible man. He started several orphanages over the years. Started five orphanages in his time. Hundreds of kids in each orphanage. 200 or 300 usually in each orphanage. Well over 1,000 kids. If anyone knows him, or if you don't know him, the story goes that he didn't ask anyone specifically for anything. He didn't ask for a love offering. He didn't ask for a gift. He didn't go up to some organization and say, hey, we need this, we need rice, you know, whatever it might be. We need food for these kids. He never did that. His mantra, essentially, was relying on God. Praying, he had the kids pray, he had his friends, his staff, they all prayed. And there are numerous accounts of people, first of all, just randomly giving them things. There's one account of a milk truck. A milk truck broke down in front of the orphanage. Couldn't get it repaired in time. The milk was going to go bad. So instead of having it go bad, they gave it to the orphanage, completely free of charge. And little did the milkman know, and the company know, that George Mueller and his kids and his staff were praying that day. And the day before, they didn't have breakfast. They didn't have things to eat. They didn't have drink. There's the milk. There's other accounts of just people just donating stuff in incredible quantities. He made it a point to never specifically ask anyone for a donation. But instead, he just trusted God, he prayed, and he trusted him to meet the needs as the situation arose. There's a story of he was randomly talking to someone, just telling about the orphanage and about the kids and about what he does. And somewhere in the conversation, the need of furniture arose. He just was telling how they need such and such amount of furniture. And it was a lot. It was enough to supply the whole orphanage. And the gentleman that he was talking to, without him even asking, just said, all right, I'll cover everything. And he actually covered everything for the furniture and more. He just relied on God. George Mueller, everyone that we've read in the Bible, Elijah, the Israelites in the wilderness, specifically Moses and Aaron when they asked, Gideon, Israel again, their leaders, Nehemiah and Ezra, everyone relied on God. Every time I do these, I do a sermon for y'all, which is an incredible blessing to do, God lays something on my heart that usually applies to me in my life in one way or another. And I felt like I was just thinking about different topics and couldn't decide on one. And I thought about this and I thought, you know, this is the one. This is what God needs. This is what I need to hear, honestly, right now. And that's why I said that earlier, it is an encouragement. You all are very familiar with these stories. You know how they ended. You know how they began. You know everything about it. But it's always good to hear stuff again. I like to pray that in my prayer sometimes. It's always good to hear and to repeat and to hear things again. You can always learn something new. Even if you can't learn something new, you didn't learn something new from it that time, maybe the second or third or fourth time you heard it, it's an encouragement, it's enlightening, and it's uplifting to people. So again, after reading this, after thinking on these, how sometimes can we think so little of God? How sometimes do we lose so much faith in God, who has done so much for us, including sending his son to die on the cross? He has done boundless amounts of things for us. We can't even begin to think of everything we've done, he's done for us in our lives. And yet we neglect him, we turn our backs on him, we doubt him. That's mostly what I'm covering tonight. Why do we doubt him? Because we're humans, we're imperfect, we're flawed. But thinking of this, and I know this is again for me, and I do this, we just need to look up. When we're in a slump, when something's going bad in our lives, and of course, even when nothing's going bad, everything's going right, you look up. You give your faith, your whole heart to God. You give your praise to God. You give your life to God. Like the Bible said back in the first passage we read, God was saying in Exodus, obey his commandments, obey his word, follow his leadership, and everything turned out all right. The Israelites needed water, they got water. They needed meat and bread, they got both. That's all we have to do. Yet sometimes we still neglect it. We still don't think about it. God loves us all. He will provide. Just think about all the different things in the universe. I thought about this too when I was trying to write all this down and formulate this. Is how many different hundreds of thousands of plant species are there? How many different hundreds of thousands of animal species are there? But God is infinitely smart and infinitely wise, and He has created an ecosystem environment for all of those to thrive. Plants are unsentient, inanimate objects, things like that. Animals are sentient but don't have a soul. So if He cares that much for them, how much does He care for us? And we're made in His image, the Bible says. How much does He care for us? We just think about it. We got to think about this. Every time that we're in a slump, even if it's of our own doing, like the Israelites in the wilderness and they're wandering, even if it's our own doing, God doesn't hate us. He hates what we've done. He doesn't hate us. But as the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is able to forgive us. He puts us as far as the east is from the west. Though He may test us, though we may fail Him, He still provides for us. And that's what I wanted to cover on tonight, was just an encouragement, specifically for myself and for you all. Just to think about, stop and think during different times of your life, even when things are down. Stop and think, well, is this my own fault, or is this a test? What is it? After you realize what's going on and why it's happening, just look to God. Pray, lift everything up to Him, and He will provide. Close in prayer now. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time we had here. Thank You for everyone that came out. I pray now that this message You've laid on my heart has reached the ears of those here as an encouragement to them, as I know it has been encouragement to me to say this and to write it down and study it, Lord. We just thank You, and we can't, like I said, we can't thank You enough for everything that You have done for us in our lives. I just pray that we continue to look towards You, God, to form our lives to fit Your will for them. All these things in Your Son's holy name. Amen.